Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway Deployment Topologies and Recommendations. Today's presenters are Svilatha Sankaranarayan and Aichi Bujo. Svilatha joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway L3 support team in May 2007. Prior to this, she was part of the WebSphere Data Interchange team. She is a Sun-certified Java programmer and a Sun-certified web component developer. Aichi joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway US L2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and LAN server technical support and AIX IBM Director and Storage Area Network Testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation now over to Svilatha and Aichi.
Good day, everybody. This is Aichi Bujo. This presentation will cover WebSphere Partner Gateway, version 6.2, Deployment Topologies and Recommendations. On slide number 2, the presentation agenda will include 3 key installation topologies. Zoom in on 4 distributed installation topologies and their recommended usage. Installation troubleshooting and resources created during installation. Understanding uninstall sequence and summary. First, we'll discuss the 3 key installation topologies. On slide number 4, there are 3 key installation topologies: simple mode and distributed mode, with simple distributed mode and full distributed mode. On slide 5, we will start with simple mode topology. This topology is the simplest one, and it consists of a single server running all 3 of WPG components: receiver, community console, and document manager. This mode is typically used in test or extremely low volume production environment. The install sequence for simple mode is to install application database first, and then followed by install simple mode option from the installer menu. On slides 6 and 7, we'll start with 6. We will discuss distributed mode. We will start with simple distributed mode here. In simple distributed mode, there's only one cluster created with one server, and all the hot components are installed on the cluster server. The install sequence is to install application database first. Secondly, install the messaging database. Next, create a WPG deployment manager and a network deployment cell. Finish the installation by installing the hub in simple distributed mode. All those options are on the installer menu as shown on this slide. Slide number 7, we will discuss full distributed mode. In full distributed mode, typically, a cluster is created for each hub component. The installer has options to let you group hub components together into a cluster. The installation process creates a cluster for the hub components within the network deployment cell. Additional cluster members can be created after the initial installation. For the rest of the presentation, we'll focus on the distributed mode, especially the full distributed mode, to give you a fuller technical coverage before you choose the suitable WPG deployment mode for your operation. We'll move to slide 8 now. On this slide, we will discuss the installation steps for distributed mode. Steps 1 and 2 are related to installation of application database and messaging database. Step 3 is installing the WPG Deployment Manager. Deployment Manager is installed on top of an existing WAS network deployment installation. Step 4 is installing the hub, which installs the various WPG components, messaging server, and common file system. By default, the WPG components are installed in their own cluster and server. Multiple WPG components can be installed in the same cluster or in separate clusters. Multiple WPG components can be installed by repeating step 4 on same or different machine. So slide number 9. I'm going to go in deeper to reveal what is happening behind the curtain during installation. During installation of Deployment Manager, WPG Deployment Manager was created and started. During installation of hub in distributed mode, WPG node was created in a new profile. WPG is added to the Deployment Manager, and the node agent is started. Cluster WPG server is created with node for each selected WPG component, but it's not started. One or more selected WPG components is installed in the cluster and configured. Cluster messaging server was also created within the node, but not started. Finally, node is synchronized with the deployment manager. I have concluded the introduction, and we will zoom in on the full distributed mode with different customer scenarios now, and the recommendation for each scenario. I'm turning the presentation to my co-presenter, Sritha, now. Thank you.
Thank you, Aichi. Hello, everybody. I will take you through some of the following slides. I'm on slide 10. We will discuss a bit on distributed server configuration and then zoom in and have a closer look at the various full distributed topologies that is available. In our forthcoming slides, we will also look at some of the factors for which a certain topology is recommended. Full distributed topology exploits the advantages offered by WAS network deployment. WebSphere application server network deployment enables you to cluster application servers so that you have multiple servers running the same application available to handle incoming requests. Clustering provides improvements for both performance and throughput. With a distributed server configuration, you can create multiple application servers to run unique sets of applications and then manage those applications from a central location. However, more important, you can cluster application servers to allow for workload management and failover capabilities. Applications that you install in the cluster are replicated across the application servers. When one server fails, another server in the cluster continues processing. On slide 11, we will cover the following topologies in our discussion. Single machine topology, its recommended usage. Separate machine topology, variation 1, its recommended usage. Separate machine topology, variation 2, its recommended usage. Separate deployment cells topology, explaining separate deployment cells topology, its recommended usage. Limitations of separate deployment cells topology. On slide 12, we will continue our discussion on full distributed topologies by also looking at the following topologies. Topology using load balancer, its recommended usage. Additional cluster member topology, its recommended usage. Existing deployment cell topology, its recommended usage. And known issue with existing deployment cell topology. On slide 13, the simplest of the full distributed topology is the single machine topology. The environment shown here is a typical full distributed mode installation. In this topology, the deployment manager can be on the same machine or on a different machine. During the hub installation, by default, a separate cluster with a cluster member is created for the messaging application server and for each WebSphere partner gateway component. The result is that you will have a separate cluster for console, receiver, document manager, and messaging server. In this topology, since all WPG components are in the same machine, the CFS or the common file system is also on the same machine and is accessible to all WPG components. Adding additional cluster members for WebSphere partner gateway components or messaging server will make them scalable and highly available. Creating additional cluster members is discussed later in the presentation. The WebSphere partner gateway console user connects to the console component, and the WebSphere application server administrator connects to the deployment manager to administer the resources and the servers in the cell. Moving to slide 14, single machine topology is a basic topology and is recommended only when customer does not anticipate huge transaction loads or if he does not have the need to secure some of his WebSphere partner gateway components by placing them separately in a secure zone. Like any full distributed topology, redundancy can be achieved by adding cluster members to this topology. However, vertical scaling on a single machine installation may not be recommended as it may be an overkill on the CPU cycles for WPG to run. Also, adding cluster members to the same machine will not facilitate failover when the system crashes. Moving on to slide 15. This slide shows a full distributed installation where the WebSphere partner gateway components are installed on different machines. We can eliminate the single points of failure in a system by including hardware and process redundancy using the separate machine topology. One of the advantages of using the separate machine topology over a single machine topology would be that a physical machine failure would not bring down the entire WebSphere partner gateway. Multiple machines can be configured to add processing power, maximize availability, and balance workloads. One of the important considerations of a separate machine topology is that since the WPG components are installed across different machines, one should ensure that the CFS or the common file system should be accessible and available to all the WPG components. Each computer in the distributed deployment has to have access to the same file system, which is typically done by mapping a drive on the local computers to point to the shared file location. A problem arises if the mapping is not done the same way on each computer in the deployment. The problem that occurs is that each computer could refer to the common file system using a different drive letter, as in the case of Windows, or a different network path, as in the case of Unix. Moving to slide 16. This kind of topology is recommended when hardware is not a bottleneck and the requirement is to have a scalable, highly available, and secure system. Since in this installation, each of the WPG components are installed on different machines, the receiver component alone, if need be, can be placed in a demilitarized zone to achieve a more secure system. There are two options for scaling using this topology, vertical or horizontal. With a WPG component installed on same machine in a single cluster, we can achieve vertical scaling. The most suitable component for vertical scaling would be the document manager server. Vertical scaling involves creating additional application server processes on a single physical machine in the same cluster, providing load balancing across multiple application servers. Vertical scaling does not provide a very efficient failover because a failover of the operating system or the hardware on the physical machine itself might cause problems to all the servers in the cluster. In this topology, horizontal scaling for high availability can be achieved by bringing in redundancy by installing WPG components on additional hardware but as same cluster members. Moving to slide 17. Here, we have shown a variation on the separate machine topology. One or more of WPG components can be installed on a single machine, while the component that we need to scale or secure in a different security zone can be installed on another single machine. As shown in this topology, the receiver and the console components can be installed in a single cluster, and the document manager can be installed on another machine in its own cluster. With this kind of topology, one can place the document manager cluster in a secure zone different from the console and the receiver cluster if need be. Also, the document manager can be scaled either vertically or horizontally to achieve performance or failover as the need may be. Customers may choose this variation of separate machine topology from the one discussed on slide 15, as the console and the receiver components do not need as much of processing CPU cycles as the document manager, thus making it not necessary for them to be each installed on a separate machine. Moving to slide 18. This topology is a slight variation of the separate machine topology discussed earlier. This topology is recommended wherever the requirement is to have a scalable, highly available and secure system. In this topology, we have shown how the document manager, which is the heart of WPG, can be on one single machine and then can be vertically or horizontally scaled to achieve load balancing and high availability, and also can be scaled as the customer's transaction load increases. Redundancy of the receiver and console cluster can also be achieved for high availability of these components. Based on the hardware available with the customer, he can plan to use this topology wherein he can choose what his need is and can install that component separately and can cluster the other two components on a single machine. Moving to slide 19. When selecting a topology, security is an important consideration for many. One of the recommended ways to have a secure topology with WPG requires a physical separation of the receiver component from the other WPG components like the console and document manager, typically across one or more firewalls. Slide here shows the use of two firewalls to create a DMZ or a demilitarized zone. Information in the demilitarized zone has some protection that is based on protocol and port filtering. A receiver intercepts the inbound files and forwards them to the document manager through the firewall. The sensitive portions of the business logic and data resides behind the second firewall, which filters based on protocols, ports, IP addresses, and domains. In separate deployment cell topology, the WPG components in different security zones are installed using different deployment managers. This is not always needed. If the first firewall from the enterprise can have a port for the deployment manager opened, then the receiver component can be installed using the same deployment manager as used for the other components. But sometimes it is seen that customers prefer to use separate deployment managers as shown here in the slide. Moving to slide 20. Having separate deployment cells for components in DMZ and outside it is not usually a recommended approach. This topology brings in certain limitations to the functioning of the Westview Partner Gateway, which we will discuss in detail on slide 22. However, like any other full distributed topology, this topology can be extended to achieve high availability and scalability by adding more cluster members. Moving to slide 21, here we have explained a little bit more on the way separate cell deployment topology works. In this topology, the receiver can operate in two modes. One, in which it writes the received files into common file system, and another way is for the receiver to directly put the received files to the WebSphere Partner Gateway queues. This can be decided by setting the property bcg.global.common.introduce.document.transport under system administration property in the console. This property takes the values of file system or JMS. If WebSphere Partner Gateway is being used so that the receiver directly places the files to the WebSphere Partner Gateway queues, the following configuration change specific to this topology is required. Use the WebSphere application server admin console to go to JMS, connection factories, select the receiver connection factory, which is jms.bcg.cf.rcvrcf, and under the provider endpoints, give the following: hostname of the machine where the mass server is running, : SIB endpoint address of the mass server, : bootstrap basic messaging. Moving to slide 22. Installing WPG with separate deployment cells is not a highly recommended approach, as it places some restrictions on the functioning of WPG. One of the important limitations being that if any configuration changes to the receivers are made using the console, then a receiver restart is mandatory to update the receiver configuration cache so that the changes in the configuration can be used at runtime. Configuring inter-cell communication between the two deployment cells may help in working around this issue. In this topology, during runtime, the use of file I/O operations to write out the received business document and the metadata information by the receivers may reduce the operational efficiency. Moving to slide 23. The workload management capabilities of WebSphere application server can be used to distribute inbound traffic among horizontally clustered BCG receiver components. This enables both load balancing and failover, improving the reliability and scalability of WebSphere applications. To avoid a single point of failure and to maximize system availability, the topology recommends to have some degree of application redundancy. High availability topologies typically involve horizontal scaling across multiple machines. Vertical scaling can improve availability by creating multiple application processes, but the machine itself becomes a point of failure. For sake of simplicity, the console, document manager, and deployment manager are not shown in this diagram. Moving to slide 24. This topology is an extension of the separate machine topology. BCG receiver clustered across different machines with a load balancer is recommended if highly available and scalable system with failover and workload management is the need. Load balancer is recommended when we would not want to overwhelm an application server with inbound traffic. Improved availability is one of the key benefits of scaling to multiple machines. Applications that are hosted on multiple machines generally have less downtime and are able to service requests more consistently. Moving on to slide 25. This slide shows horizontal clustering of the BCG receiver component done for high availability. A cluster is a logical collection of application server processes that provides workload balancing and high availability. Application servers that belong to a cluster are members of that cluster and must all have identical application components deployed on them. Other than the applications that are configured to run on them, cluster members do not have to share any other configuration data. The members of a cluster can be located on a single node, where we call it a vertical cluster, or across multiple nodes, where we call it a horizontal cluster, or it can be a combination of the two. A cluster can span machines or LPAR boundaries and also can span across operating systems. When you install, update, or delete an application, the updates are automatically distributed to all members in the cluster. All cluster members of a cluster should be installed to use the same deployment manager cell. Moving on to slide 26. Additional cluster members can be added to any cluster to achieve failover, scalability, or workload management. Having more than one member in the BCG receiver cluster is recommended when the requirement is to receive files from external system as well as from systems within the enterprise. Since the source of incoming documents reside in two different security level zones, we can have a receiver cluster with one member in the DMZ and the other member within the enterprise. This is one good usage scenario where BCG receiver clustering can be recommended. In addition to above, having BCG receiver cluster provide failover so that WPG does not fail to receive documents inbound to the enterprise. Having a document manager cluster is a good recommendation to ensure failover and scalability for the document manager component. In any of the topologies we have discussed thus far, we can achieve redundancy for scalability or failover by adding additional cluster members for any application server cluster. Moving to slide 27. Here, we have discussed the option of using an existing deployment cell for installing WPG. Sometimes it can so happen that customers already have other applications deployed on Azure application server network deployment, and they may as a result have a deployment manager running. If they would want to install WPG using the same deployment manager, then this can be done and is supported from the WPG 6.2 version. The install consideration would be to first start the existing deployment manager and then to follow the installation steps 1, 2, and 4 from installer panel as discussed earlier for full distributed installation. Moving to slide 28. During hub installation, we would need to provide the deployment manager port for the existing deployment manager profile. This value can be determined from the WAS admin console by going to the system administration, deployment manager, ports, and determining the value for the bootstrap address. The rest of the installation procedure should remain the same as for a full distributed mode. Moving on to slide 29. During installation of WPG on an existing cell, there was a common issue seen because of which the application servers were not allowed to federate to the cell. The error in the addnode.log would read as, an error occurred during federation, invalid keystroke format, rolling back to original configuration. This is a known issue, and resolution for the same is published as a tech note in the URL provided in the slide. Moving on to slide 30. existing deployment cell topology is recommended when the customer has an infrastructure where he has a deployment manager cell already created and other applications running using this deployment manager. This completes our discussion on some of the key full distributed topologies, their advantages, limitations, and recommended usages. I will now hand it over to Aichi to take you through the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharissa, for giving good customer scenario for four distributed topologies. Next, I'm going to bring you to the installation troubleshooting and resources created during installation. Please note our discussion will focus on four distributed mode again here. On slide number 32, we will start with a very useful tool, install verification tool, IVT. There are two ways of launching IVT. It can be launched from first steps, post-installation of WPG, or it can be launched by invoking the launchibt.sh. The equivalent on Windows will be launchibt.bat from hub install location, first steps, IVT, bin. The IVT produces a report containing the details of all the installed WPG components. To indicate failure of any component, necessary log files are produced under hub install location. First steps, IVT logs. Those logs indicate the status of verification of WPG installation and failures if there's any. I'd like to make a note here. In distributed topology, IVT will not verify components installed in different machines, because it can only contact components running locally. On slide number 33, we will discuss DB loader errors here. If you encounter problems while installing the database loader, check the database loader logs in the system temp BCG DB loader logs directory for information on the problem. Once the problem is resolved, be sure to delete the created database by running the database loader on installer and remove the database. Once you have deleted the database, rerun the database loader wizard. On slide number 34, the next four slides will cover reload cache key errors. Basically, this type of errors result from different names or messaging server given other than the default name. Here in this case, the default name being BCG mask. You can see in the server logs, you will find messages to indicate problem with reload cache. Messages you could see will be CWSIV0775W, the creation of a connection for destination reload cache key on bus, BCG bus, for endpoint activation, and some further detail complaining about the exception. You will see SI resource exception, EWSIT-00A6E, bus, BCG bus, not found. Dealt with exception type of error message. On slide number 35, to correct this problem, first you will have to start servers and node and log into WASP admin console. Next you will go to resources, choose JMS and activation specifications. And there you will see four activation specs for reload cache. The names are, they all have some common beginning for the name will be archiver, BPEAS, doc manager AS, receiver RCVRAS. On slide number 36, from the screen, you will go to each of the activation specs and scroll down on the properties page until you see the section for configuration of subscription durability. Here you will set the durable subscription home to the value of the messaging engine cluster name. On slide number 37, to find the messaging engine, then you will go to WAS admin console and choose system integration, buses, BCT bus, messaging engine, and see what the name of the messaging engine cluster is here. Then you will set the durable subscription home to this value from the above path and save the changes and restart the node and the servers. On slide number 38, we'll verify the start of BCG bus or any SI bus from BCG mass loss. BCG bus and messaging server, BCG mass, is required to be started for WPG to work. If they are not started successfully, you will get a lot of messaging errors and internal communications between WPG components will not take place. To establish that the messaging server and BCG bus has started fine, please verify the BCG mass server log. I'm going to go over a few statements here, but you can also see them on the slide. It will start with PWSIS1538I. The messaging engine is attempting to obtain an exclusive lock on the data store. And we'll go on to continue to report status. You can see message by a single previous owner was found in the messaging engine's data store. And it will go on, and if you do see this set of errors, or not this set of messages, and with PWSID0016I, messaging engine, BCG mass cluster, BCG bus is in state started, then that means the status is a successful one. On slide number 39, the next two slides are about the installation logs. This table actually is a continuation to the next page too. This table specifies the location of the installation logs, which are generated during the installation. The log files are separate from the runtime log file. You can see in the table, I have separated them. On the top, you will see during install, the temporary log files created and the location. And at the lower set of the log, that will be the final log file location directory. If installation fails, look at the temporary files in addition to the final installation files. Let's move to slide number 40. Take a quick glance of this is a continuation of the local location. On slide number 41, during installation, several WPG resources are created. This and next slide, actually there are two more slides, we'll talk about the various resources created. The hub components are created as J2EE applications and deployed in WAS. Clusters are created in distributed mode for the hub components, and the application servers are added as cluster members. Typically, in distributed mode, each hub component is created in its own cluster. MAS cluster is created with a single messaging application server as its cluster member. Application database is required for WPG to be persistent configuration data and transactional data. Various JDBC resources are created for the receiver, console, and dock manager to access the application database. On slide number 42, the service integration bus is the core of the messaging. infrastructure through which all the internal messages between the hub components are exchanged. Appropriate JNS resources are created to connect to the queue defined on the service integration bus. A messaging database is required for messaging server to start correctly. And also here, the JDBC resources are created for the messaging application server to connect to the MAS database. On slide number 43, in WPG 6.2, we added support for SFTP. You can check those resources to make sure SFTP resources were created during installation. Basically, there are two things to look for. First one is SFTP and DB jar. This is placed in the common file system receiver folder. Second one to check will be CWYFTP file.rar. This is placed in the WAS install location, installable apps directory, and installed on both receiver and router nodes. Slide number 44. Next, we will briefly cover the uninstall sequence, so you will know the correct steps to take if you need to uninstall. Slide number 45. Here are the sequence. First, you will shut down console, receiver, stack manager, and MAS cluster. Uninstall the hub component servers. This will remove the node from the deployment manager. Next, you will run the WPG install from uninstall subdirectory uninstall.exe or the uninstall.sh for non-Windows version. And next, you will shut down deployment manager. Uninstall deployment manager by running the executable from WPG dmanager install and uninstall subdirectory. Next step will be DB loader. Again, you will retrieve the executable from WPG DB loader install and uninstall subdirectory. And finally, uninstall MAS database by running the executable from WPG MAS loader install and uninstall subdirectory. Slide number 46. We'll provide a summary now to wrap up this presentation. Slide number 47. We have focused this presentation mostly on four distributed topologies. Four distributed mode installations are for most robust, scalable, and highly available production environment. This explores the scalability features of WAS server network deployment. By installing WPG in four distributed mode using any of the discussed topologies, you can achieve a scalable, secure, and highly available system. This concludes our presentation for deployment topologies and recommendation. I would like to go over one more slide with you on slide 48. We have some very useful information here. I just want to share with you. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link and support pages point you to webcasts and conference information. Please also visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMOs online. Finally, the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now I'm going to turn the microphone to our moderator. Thank you.
Thank you, IG and Silatha, for a great presentation. At this point, Brandy, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, I show no questions.
Thank you, Brandy. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.